We've just been singing the words of that wonderful hymn, Face to Face with Christ, My Saviour. And I wonder if you ever imagined what it would be like to be able to meet face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a conversation with him, to be able to sit down and to talk about the things that are upon your mind. I wonder what we might converse with if we had that opportunity to meet the Lord and to speak to him about it. No doubt we would begin by worshipping him and telling him of our great desire to love him more and to serve him better. Then perhaps we might ask him questions about things that have happened to us, things that have left us puzzled over the years, things that have concerned us, and we might seek answers for the reasons why certain things happened. We might look back over our life and ask the Lord, what was the reason for this? Why did it happen this way? Why me, Lord? And having done that, I suspect that in having looked at the past, we might then turn our attention to the future and ask the Lord what he might have in store for us in the days yet to come. And I suspect that it would be our desire, each and every one of us, that if we had the opportunity to speak to the Lord face to face, that we might let him know that it is our desire to serve him and to please him and to be engaged in the very things that he would have us to do. And we might ask the question, if there was some way that we might know the Lord's perfect will for our life, and that if we are out of step with God, that he might change our direction and put us back into the way, that we might know that we're walking in that right way with God. Because I think deep down in the heart of every believer, there is that desire to walk before God in that appointed way. And if only we could receive some sign, some definite sign regarding our steps and our progress and our plans for the future, that we might know the approval of God upon it, that would be something really quite special for us. To know that our decisions were superintended by the Lord, that he would guide us in the thoughts that we would have and the plans that we would make, the choices that we face, the help of the Lord, to know that it was there for guidance, that our decisions really do matter, and that he would guide us in the way that we should go. Because our lives are filled with so many questions. When we are younger, of course, the questions differ than when we are older. When we are younger, we're thinking, should I get married? Who should I get married to? Should I go to college or university? And if the answer is yes, then what course should I take? And what university should I attend? Or maybe you've been offered a new position, a new job, and you're thinking it's a good job, but should I take it? Is it the right step? Is it taking me in the right direction? Is this what the Lord would have me to do? So many questions. One of the biggest questions that I faced, certainly as a young man, was concerning the calling of God to the ministry. Could I really be sure that this was God's will for my life? There were things that were happening around me and within me that seemed to be pointing in that direction, but it was such a huge step. That could I be certain that I was going forward in God's will, or was this something that I was merely pursuing by myself? And so many questions. And we always want to be 100% certain when it comes to making those major decisions in our lives. If only we could receive a telephone call or an email from God saying, these are the things that I want you to do this week. That would make it easy. But it doesn't happen that way. And many times we can search and study, and we can narrow down the options, and we can talk it over with trusted friends, and we can pray about it, and we can read the Word of God and look for direction, and we wait upon the Lord. And in the end, sometimes we simply have to make what we hope is the best decision and that we got it right. And I think therein lies the central issue when it comes to us and knowing the will of God. We would like someone else to make the decision for us and to say, this is what you have to do, rather than having to make up our minds ourselves and determine the right way. If only God would tell us exactly what he wanted in any given situation, then we would do it gladly. But most of the time, we don't always have that 100% certainty. And we make the decision based upon what we hope is the best reasons possible. Well, when it comes to knowing God's will and the questions we have concerning it, I don't know that there is any way to have 100% certainty all of the time. I don't know that we can ever truly have it. We might get 95% certainty sometimes, but that may be as good as it ever gets when it comes to the decisions of life. But the Bible doesn't leave us in the dark concerning this subject. It does provide us with certain helps and guidelines when it comes to knowing God's will and therefore carrying it out. Because if it is God's will for our life, then obviously he will want us to know what that will is. And he takes responsibility to see that we can discover it. And therefore, knowing God's will is ultimately God's problem and not mine. It's for God to reveal it to me. And we look to the Lord to be able to do that. So that means if God is responsible for his will being carried out, then we can rest assured that he will put us exactly where he wants us to be when he needs us to be there, that he can arrange all of the details years in advance if necessary. He can open doors that seem shut, and he can shut doors that seem open to us. If God's will is going to be carried out perfectly, and it will, then that means that he can remove any obstacle that stands in our way. And he can even take our choices and our decisions and fit them into his plans so that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And if I read the scriptures correctly, then I find that there are times that God even uses the mistakes and the missteps, if I can call them that, of his people to bring about his good and perfect plan. He can overrule any tragedy that occurs in our lives and use it for his glory. In fact, the only thing that God requires from us is a willing heart to cooperate with him in the carrying out of his will. Of course, he overrules even in the affairs of wicked men and uses their plots and their plans, their schemes and devices to bring about his perfect will. Now, that takes some of the pressure off us when it comes to knowing God's perfect will, that we can rely upon God to do his will no matter what. We simply want to be in step with God and in harmony with him and working alongside him and not against him. So there are a few verses in the book of Proverbs that I want to share with you this afternoon that emphasize for us very strongly the sovereignty of God over even our personal decisions. And I want to take a quick look at these verses and see how God not only works in us, but through us, and even sometimes in spite of us, in the decisions that we make in this world. Now, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 is the verse we want to start with, and we want to move to a couple of others after it. But this verse tells us that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The Lord determines our steps. The word that's used here is actually a very strong word. It speaks about God's control over every aspect and every detail of his universe. He directeth our steps. You've maybe heard the little expression that man proposes, but God disposes. You can have your plans and your arrangements, but we make them according to the divine will. And it used to be very popular when meetings were announced that they would come with the little abbreviation after DV, Deo Volente, the Lord willing. Here's our proposals. We'll see if God will agree. We can make our plans and we can have our life mapped out step by step. But in the end, it's God that determines the direction. Man's heart deviseth his way. You can have your plans and your programs and your aspirations, but recognize that it is the Lord that directs the steps. He is in control. His will be done. Now look a little bit further down the chapter to verse 33, the last verse. We looked at this verse when we considered the life of Jonah and the throwing overboard of Jonah by the casting of lots. Well, verse 33 of Proverbs 16 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." Now, let me explain what I believe to be the concept of casting lots as it's mentioned in the Old Testament. On occasions, in Old Testament times, the Jewish people would use the method of casting lots to determine God's will. And it involves sometimes using different colored balls, placing them in a bag, mixing them all together, and then seeing which one fell out first, and the colour would determine one of a number of preconceived options. In some ways, I suppose it's a little bit like rolling a dice. If it rolls a 6, I'll do this. If it rolls a 5, I'll do that. The idea being that the rolling of the dice or the casting of the lot was a random act of chance, but recognizing that it's God who is behind what even seems to be random in our lives. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. It's a recognition that there are no accidents in life, no random events, no such thing as luck, good or bad. That everything, even the things that seem so meaningless, actually fit into the plan of God. Now, I'm not advocating that you carry a dice in your pocket and use it for making decisions during the course of the week. The Lord has given you, I hope, more sense than that. That you bring matters to the Lord, you pray about them and consider them before the Lord, and in prayer seek his guidance in making right decisions. But it's simply a recognition that nothing happens by accident. That's what that verse is teaching. Nothing happens by accident. God is in control. Now, turn over the page to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 this time. Proverbs 19 and verse 21. "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Let me give you a paraphrase of that verse if I can. You can make all the plans you want, but God gets the last word. There are many devices in the heart of man. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. God's purposes shall stand. Many of our plans don't stand. Many of our plans are like leaves that blow around in the autumn wind. They seem good at the time, but something comes along and blows them away. But when God determines to do something, you can rest assured that it will definitely happen. There are many devices, many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You can make all the announcements that you like. You can make your declaration concerning your long-range plans, your 10-year forecast, your personal objectives. But remember this, that when you finish making all of your plan, God gets the last word. He determines what happens. Chapter 20 this time, Proverbs 20, verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Now, there's something to point out in this verse. There's two references to man. Man's goings are of the Lord, and then how can a man then understand his own way? It's not evident reading it in our English Bible, but there's two different words being used. The first phrase is the Hebrew word gibor, and it refers to what we might call a mighty man, a mighty warrior, a ruler, a king, a potentate, one who sits in authority. And Solomon is saying here that even the steps of such a mighty, powerful man are ordained of the Lord. Now, the word man in the second phrase, how then can a man understand his way, comes from the more generic term that gives us our English word Adam, mankind. And what I think Solomon is saying is, if God directs the steps of the great and the mighty, how can mere mortals seek to understand their own way? And the idea is then, he can't. That's the whole point of the verse. That the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And who amongst us can truly comprehend the ways of God? Who's the Lord's instructor telling them what to do and how to do it? Not us. God is the one who's in control. And I think when it comes to knowing the will of God and doing the will of God, perhaps the most important thing to remember is this, that he is God and we are not. And if I were to summarize the teaching of those four verses that we've turned to in the book of Proverbs, it's this, that it's not always possible for us to know the end from the beginning or the reason why things happen or even the right way to go or how to do things. But if you remember that God is sovereign, that he's in control of all things, that he determines the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, then we can learn to rest in him and upon him. And we can walk then not in spiritual confusion, but we can begin to trust God for the outworking of his will in our lives. And surely that's where our spiritual understanding must begin. It's the fear of the Lord that brings wisdom. It's our dependence upon him. It's recognizing that he is God and that we are dependent upon his rule, upon his control. And those things that we begin to worry about or obsess over or lose sleep over because we're trying to control everything and everyone around us, and we worry about every decision and we spend hours fussing over the little details of life, wondering, are we getting them all in the right order? What a relief it brings to us to realize that the Lord is God, that he's in control, that he's sovereign and overrules over all of the affairs, and that there is nothing that takes him by surprise. There are no accidents with him. We can sleep well realizing that the disposing of all of these things is in his hands. Corrie ten Boom, who you're all familiar with, I don't need to tell you who she is, but she told of a time when she was having trouble sleeping one night. She was worried about certain things that were happening around her in her life. And she said that she tried praying, but it didn't seem to help. And she said, finally, it seemed as if the Lord said to her, Corrie, go to sleep. I've got it under control. And she lay down and put her head upon the pillow and rested on the Lord and in his providence. Let me, if I can, leave with you just a few principles that I hope will be helpful to you in knowing and submitting to the Lord's will in the directing of our affairs through life. The first suggestion that I have for you is use all your intelligence to make the best decision possible. Some people talk as if you shouldn't use your brain at all when it comes to determining God's will. It's like a tossing of a coin. Whatever happens, we'll go with that. Don't think about what might happen. Don't think about the potential or the consequences or the reaction to my actions. I don't think that's biblical. I know the Bible tells us that we're not to lean upon our own understanding, but it doesn't tell us to disengage our brains either and not to think about how things are going to work out. It simply means that after doing all of your research, after having considered all the options, after thinking about how the results are going to pan out if things work the way that we suspect, then having made a decision based upon those things, we submit it to God and ask for his overruling in all of these affairs. When we come to make a major decision, don't sit waiting for the angels to come and knock on your door and hand you a note and say, this is what you should do. Use your head. Study the situation. Gather the facts. Talk to your friends. Seek godly counsel. Read your Bible. Pray to the Lord. And then submit all of these things into his hand and say, Lord, guide me as I make the decision. Help me to make the right one. Use the brains that God has given you. Use them for his glory. And having made the best decision that we possibly can, and since we are unable to know the future with any 100% certainty, realize that we can never be absolutely certain that we've always made the right decision in every circumstance. And I've said already, this is sometimes our greatest stumbling block. We want 100% certainty in a world that's fallen into sin, and certainty is almost impossible to come by. Now, I understand the reasoning for wanting such certainty, but I just don't know where we're going to get it. And in the face of those major decisions of life, and I'm thinking about the major ones that affect us not just in that moment, but for our time after. When I think about getting married, we make the best decision we think possible and hope that we don't live to regret it in years to come. We commit it unto the Lord. But I suspect there's very few people, when it comes to the day of their wedding or in the days leading up to it, they're thinking, I hope I've made the right choice. I hope I'm not making a mistake. I hope I'm not rushing ahead of God. And that's just one decision. What about career choices or job opportunities that see you needing to move to another part of the country, leaving friends and family and perhaps even a church life behind, to be certain that it's God's will? Whether to begin another course of treatment, to undertake that next bout of chemotherapy. Can we truly know with 100% certainty every time? Of course not. But don't allow the fact that you can never be 100% sure to paralyze you into making no decision. We can't just leave things. We need to seek God's will. We need to seek out good advice. That's how God works. Through the multitude of counselors, seek out godly wisdom. Seek out those that you know and trust and rely upon their guidance, and then commit it to the Lord. You read through the Bible and the great decisions that many of the men and women of faith made. I suspect that very few of them had 100% certainty as to how things were going to turn out. God told Noah to go and build an ark when he had never even seen so much as a drop of rain before. And for over 100 years that great ark was in preparation and building, and I wonder, was ever a time that he's thinking to himself, I hope I got this right. He didn't know with 100% certainty, but he trusted what God had said, and he built the ark anyway. And God came along to Abram there in the Ur of the Chaldees and said, Abraham, I want you to pack up all your belongings and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. He didn't know the way. He didn't know what direction he was going or where the Lord would take him to or the obstacles that he'd face along the way. He didn't have a clear picture perfect map of his future, but he trusted God anyway. And God came to Moses, said, Moses, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses got it wrong, you know. He thought there would be a mighty deliverance by his hand, and he struck the first blow when he smote the Egyptian, and then he found that he had to go and run and hide for his life for 40 years in the backside of the desert because of a wrong choice that he made. God still overruled, still used, still made him a mighty leader and a deliverer of the children of Israel. He didn't understand how God was going to do it through one as weak and feeble as himself. He says, I can't speak to the people. I don't have the necessary skills, but he trusted God nonetheless. Joshua, city of Jericho is before you. Great high walls, you can't leave that great city behind you as you make your way to the land of Canaan, because they'll come behind you and they'll destroy you. I'll tell you what to do. March around the city for 7 days. Did it make sense to Joshua? Probably not. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he marched around the city anyway and the walls fell down. Everywhere we look, we find saints of God doing what God has told them, whether it made sense to them or not, and God overruling in all of their affairs. Gideon, take your army, bring them down to the water, watch how they drink, take those that take the water in their hands and bring it to their mouth. Those 300 men, that'll be enough to defeat the army of the Midianites. Gideon didn't believe he was God's chosen deliverer, but he did what God said anyway. The sons of Jesse were brought before Samuel, from the tallest and the greatest of them down to the littlest one, David. No, not him. Him. That's God's choice. Didn't make sense to Jesse. Probably didn't make sense to David either. God's overruling in all of these things. We can't always have 100% certainty. The Hebrew children didn't know that God would deliver them. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace, but they decided, we're not going to bow down before the golden idol anyway. Daniel probably didn't know that he'd be delivered from the lion when he was thrown into that awful pit, but he said, I'm going to pray to God anyway. Peter had no assurances that he was going to be able to walk on water when the Lord called him across the waves, but he stepped out in faith anyway. We can't always have 100% certainty, but we trust the Lord anyway. The life of faith means living with uncertainty, even in the very midst of doing God's will. That's the whole point of chapters like Hebrews chapter 11. Those great men and women of faith, they didn't know the future. They didn't know how things were going to work out. They knew that God said, do this, and they did it. Sometimes it was in the midst of great personal suffering, but they did it anyway. They kept on believing, even when circumstances seemed to be working against them. You read through that chapter and you read of the great rewards that come to the people of faith. That's what faith is, the substance of things hoped for. Faith is trusting God for the unknown future. It's not knowing with 100% certainty how things are going to work out and then signing up. It's saying, Lord, I don't know how things will work out, but I'm signing up anyway. I'm trusting you. So trust God. Stop waiting for 100% certainty. It will never come. But I believe that when those major decisions have to be made and we commit the way unto the Lord, that He will guide us and He will direct us. And we will have His peace about those decisions. What God really wants from us most of all is our willingness to trust Him, to put our lives into His hand, for Him to be able to direct us in all of the details and affairs of our lives. He wants us to come like little Samuel of old and say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, show me the way, let me know your will so that I can follow after. To come like Isaiah and say, Here am I, Lord, send me. To come pray like our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what the Lord's looking from us. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Then come like Samuel saying, Speak, Lord. Come like Isaiah saying, Lord, send me wherever it might be. Come like the Savior saying, Not my will. And I'll let you in on a little secret. Those that are yielded unto the Lord, that are willing to be guided by His hand, they will be. They will be. And those that are willing to hear, God will speak with a voice loud enough for them to discern. The question is, are we able to be guided by the Lord? Are we so stubborn and stuck in our own way that we refuse to yield sovereignty over our own lives? We have to be in the driving seat. If this is something that you struggle with, then let me suggest two very simple prayers to you. Lord, let your will be done, even if it means that my will is not done. Pray also, Lord, right now, I'm not sure what your will might be, but whatever it is, make me willing to do it. If it's necessary to change my heart, then change it. Be willing to do God's will. And then I believe, then finally, that when the time comes to make the best decision, we will make it and we'll be able to leave the results in the hands of God. Having considered it and thought about it and deliberated upon it and prayed over it and talked with others and sought godly counsel and researched our options and looked at the circumstances and we've searched the scriptures and we've waited on the Lord and we've done everything that we can to know what God's will might be, then when the moment of decision comes, take a deep breath, close your eyes if you need to, and go ahead in the will of God. And be prepared to leave the results in God's hands, remembering that He is sovereign, that His purposes stand. And I believe that if we are truly willing and desiring to do the will of God, then He will enable us to do it. It's His will, don't forget. We simply need to be willing to do God's will. And He will lead us and guide us each step of the way. Oh, for hearts that are receptive to God, that are yielded unto Him, that can be moved and directed according to His will. Oh, that the Lord might give us such a desire to be yielded unto Him and that He would direct our steps. May the Lord help us to know and to do His blessed will. Amen.